This is The Break on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Brian Barrett.
All right, joining us now from SB Nation, it's David Fucillo. David, thanks for taking some time this morning. We really appreciate it.
No, my pleasure.
All right, so after the first 2 weeks of the season, Pat Mahomes, he has 10 touchdown passes, had six of them yesterday. What have you made of his performance?
It's hard not to be impressed. Entering the season, I think he was 55-1 to win NFL MVP, and it's safe to say that those odds are going to be slightly lower.
So what do you think has been the difference between the Chiefs' offense with Mahomes compared to what it's been the past few years with Alex Smith?
You know, there's always been talk about how Alex Smith is sort of a dink and dunk passer. In reality, he's always been a solid deep ball thrower. But Patrick Mahomes, I mean, that arm is second to none. But even more importantly, is just his ability to process what's going on the field is really impressive. There's been plenty of quarterbacks that have come along that have a cannon for an arm. I mean, you look at Josh Allen, but Mahomes, just his ability to process things, his ability to do a lot of different things on the field is impressive. We saw, in week one, they used almost a college-style offense. In week two, it was more just him processing a regular NFL offense, finding open receivers against a variety of defenses.
We're chatting with David Fucillo from SB Nation Farm on Twitter, at David Fucillo, F-U-C-I-L-L-O. All right, on the other side of that, the Pittsburgh Steelers, they're now 0-1-1 to start the season, could easily be 0-2. Their defense was absolutely horrible yesterday. I get Pat Mahomes is great and all that, but, man, how concerned are you right now with that Pittsburgh defense?
Yeah, they've got some serious problems. I mean, you're not getting, they got one sack yesterday. They're not getting nearly enough pressure. You saw what they did against the Cleveland Browns, where, that was a game they should have won going away, and then they let them back into it. They struggled big time with that. But no, there's nothing to indicate this is going to get better anytime soon. With the Cincinnati Bengals jumping out to a 2-0 start on the season, the Steelers got their work cut out for them.
Yeah, it really is fascinating to watch this. You think Mike Tomlin could be on the hot seat after the season if it doesn't not go according to plan?
I don't know. That's a tough one. I think the NFC North, it seems. Oh, I'm sorry. The AFC North, it seems, is a division where coaches get a long leash out there. We've seen the Bengals have stuck with things for a long time. Hugh Jackson somehow still has a job. I think there will be talk about Tomlin's future, but I don't think he's legitimately on the hot seat.
Okay, David, another team that struggled yesterday was the Houston Texans. They go up against the Titans with Blaine Gabbert, the backup quarterback. And really, the Texans' offense, we expected big things considering what Deshaun Watson did last year in that six-game sample size. He took the league by storm. What's been the difference with Watson so far this season compared to where he was a year ago?
Well, Watson, in terms of traditional numbers, looked great last year. If you look at some of the more advanced metrics, there were some struggles with accuracy and other issues. And so, a slight regression is not surprising. You add in the fact that he's still, it hasn't been that long into his rehab process from the knee injury. So, you're looking at a guy that I think it's going to take some time really for him to settle in and really to figure out what he is as a quarterback. I mean, clearly he's a running threat. That's there's no doubt about that. But what he does as a passer, by the end of this year, we may have a completely different view of him.
We're chatting with David Fucillo of SB Nation. All right, the Patriots yesterday, they lose to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Blake Bortles rips up the defense. But the concern on the other side is once Rob Gronkowski was doubled, Tom Brady had nowhere really to throw the football. Julian Edelman does come back in week five of the season. But how concerning is the Patriots, I should say, lack of weapons right now in terms of the receiver position?
Yeah, it seems to finally be catching up with them. Over the years, we've always seen them kind of not necessarily investing super heavily in the receiver position, but then, they'll have a guy here or there like a Julian Edelman. But Chris Hogan, after a big year last year, he had two touchdowns yesterday, but only three catches for 42 yards. It's still a struggle for them to find consistent weapons. Phil Dorsett could be that guy if he can emerge a little more consistently. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, this is a team that they just don't have pass catchers right now.
Yeah, while we're on the subject of receivers, first of all, Josh Gordon, the Browns are going to release him or trade him by 4 p.m. Eastern today. Who do you think's the leader to get him? Apparently, he likes San Francisco and he likes Dallas. Do you expect one of those teams to offer the most for him?
Yeah, that's, you know, it's interesting that John Lynch said yesterday that the 49ers did call the Browns and are doing their due diligence on him. It sounds like rumors out of Dallas are that they are not interested. We're going to find out in the next 4.5 hours exactly what happens in terms of a potential trade. My guess, I don't think the 49ers happen. I would not be surprised if the Patriots, speaking of a team that needs receiving weapons, somehow it would not surprise me, but I don't know. You know, you've got a guy who has struggled to stay on the field for a host of reasons, and, you know, at some point, does the lack of availability trump the talent? And even with all that talent, he hasn't consistently been on the field in 5 years. You know, is this a guy that still has everything that we think he has?
We're chatting with David Fucillo of SB Nation. Yeah, the Patriots certainly could use Josh Gordon at this particular point in time. But how about Dez Bryant? Are you surprised, David, that he hasn't been picked up yet? I mean, now we're heading into week three of the season. He's still not playing in the NFL.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised. I think that he is, you know, he was clearly on the backside of his career. Injuries were starting to become an issue. But, you know, like you said, there are a lot of teams with new receivers. And I don't know if people just, you know, if there's the perception about him in terms of what, you know, what he brings off the field. I'm not sure. You would think that a team like the Patriots, who clearly need a receiver, you know, a lot of teams need receivers at this point, that you'd think somebody would want to take a chance on him for what would probably be the, you know, the league minimum.
Yeah, especially now we're 2 weeks into the season. It's not going to be expensive to bring him in, considering some of the receiving cores in the NFL. You would think that at this point he'd be signed. It's really stunning to me. It's perplexing, actually. All right, so moving on to some other headlines from yesterday, and we had the tie between the Minnesota Vikings and the Green Bay Packers. I thought in that game, David, that Minnesota outplayed Green Bay, and their kicker just kind of screwed them over in that game. What did you make of that tie between Green Bay and Minnesota?
Well, I mean, the personal fouls are obviously the big issue, and you know, it was one of those where the Packers had this one sewn up at the end, but you know, you had that the Clay Matthews call that really cost them big time. Yeah, I would agree. You know, from a passing perspective, Kirk Cousins looked great. He is you know, he's legit. He's a real deal. He's making plays. Both teams, where it kind of came down to is neither team could take advantage on the ground. It looks like the Vikings had 68 rushing yards on 18 carries. The Packers had 98 rushing yards on 24 carries. Jamal Williams has struggled. The Packers are going to be an interesting team where they get Aaron Jones back from suspension, and that's going to be, you know, that could be what helps them take their offense to another level. But both offenses, you know, through the air it was great. On the ground, they just couldn't get anything going.
David, you watched that Sunday night game, and it was tough television. The Giants and Cowboys, not that of an entertaining game. And then you double that with that offense for the Giants right now. The offensive line is horrible. Eli has not been good to start the season. The Giants, apparently, they were in a win-now mode, apparently. Is that what they were saying when they drafted Saquon Barkley and they gave Nate Solder the big money? Do you see a way that this Giants offense gets better?
No, not really. As long as Eli Manning is quarterback, there, you know, he's had a great career, but we've reached the point where there's just not a lot left. And as long as he's back there, you know, we saw it yesterday, they just couldn't get anything going with any consistency. And, you know, yes, Saquon Barkley is a great running back, but as we saw yesterday, 11 carries for 28 yards, and then 14 receptions for 80 yards. This is an offense that's just going nowhere fast.
Yeah, David, are you surprised considering that this isn't something that everybody is second-guessing? Most people said, I would say it's like 75% to 25%, where people are saying you should take a quarterback at number two, and there was maybe a small minority that said that 25% said, okay, take a running back, take Saquon Barkley. But are you surprised with everybody thought they should take a quarterback and they still took a running back? Were you surprised that, I mean, it's stunning to me that an organization that historically, and I get Dave Gettleman comes in, new GM and all that, historically the Giants have been run in a pretty good fashion and they just made that type of boneheaded decision, especially considering the team behind them is another New York team in the Jets that gets to pick Sam Darnold. It just seems like so stunning looking back at what happened.
Yeah, I mean, on the one hand, it's surprising. On the other hand, you have to wonder if they've got blinders when it comes to Eli Manning. You know, he's a guy that's brought them two Super Bowl titles, done so many things for the franchise. Yeah, I mean, you have to wonder just at this point, if they're blind to the fact that he is, you know, that he's basically finished. And then, you know, they spend the number two overall pick on Saquon Barkley, and then you see a fourth and inches play at midfield where they decide to punt. And that right there was just a gross indictment of the just how cowardly NFL coaches can be at times.
Yeah, and then they go for it on third and one, the next possession from their own 34, 35. It didn't make any sense. It was really an odd scenario, but I was with you on that. I'm like, well, isn't this the point of getting Saquon Barkley? How about Ryan Fitzpatrick? Yesterday, 402 yards, four more touchdowns, 400 against the Saints as well. So when Jameis Winston comes back, is he immediately the starting quarterback for the Bucs?
Man, that situation is crazy. The fact that Fitzpatrick is playing the way he is, I mean, on the one hand, yes, Fitzpatrick's playing well. On the other hand, he's, what, 35? We kind of know what he is. The tough problem that I see with all this is, realistically, Winston should get his job back. He's the proverbial guy of the future. He's a guy that has been inconsistent, but at the same time is still, what, 24 years old? But on the other hand, you have to consider the locker room. You have to consider, you know, how well this team has played with Fitzpatrick and how it would be received for him to play well and then, you know, and then be benched. So not that they're going to, but I feel like the Bucs coaching staff would not be entirely disappointed if Fitzpatrick had a poor game this week and kind of made it easier to be like, okay, you know, he had a couple great games, but this is really what he is.
We're chatting with David Fugillo from SB Nation. All right, the Rams yesterday, 34-0 over the Cardinals. They curb-stomped the Raiders to open up the season. David, for you right now, and I get they haven't played the greatest of competition so far this season, but are they clearly the best team, at least the most talented team in the NFL?
I think the Jaguars probably are.
Oh, wow.
I think the Rams are a really good team. The Rams are a very good team. They're right now, they're the best team in the NFC. I think just based on who they've played, I'm willing to give the Jaguars a little more of a bounce at this point. But yeah, the Rams are going to run away with the NFC West. I am curious. They play the Chargers next week. That's going to be a big game for them. That's where I think we'll start to really get it. I mean, what they play versus the Chargers, versus the Vikings, at the Seahawks, at the Broncos, at the 49ers the next 5 weeks. So 5 weeks from now, we are going to know exactly what this Rams team is.
All right, David, and before we let you go, Jimmy Garoppolo bounces back. I didn't even think he played that poorly against Minnesota. I mean, two of those interceptions really weren't on him. He had a beautiful touchdown pass in that game as well. Just went up against a superior team. But yesterday played well against Detroit. What have you made of Garoppolo through the first two games of the season?
You know, he has not been awful. Like you said, you know, against the Vikings, there were some bad mistakes, but things worked out okay. He took six sacks yesterday, several of which were coverage sacks. I think they're still trying to figure out, you know, that offensive line and also the receiving core. So, you know, he did get bailed out in a big way by that defensive holding call late in the game on the interception he threw late in the game. But again, you know, he's a work in progress. He's a guy that, again, has only had that, you know, this is only the second start as the full-time starter. He's got nine starts under his belt. He's going to be fine.
All right, David, and just real quick before we let you go, did you ever consider retiring from something at halftime like Vontae Davis?
That's impressive. I mean, I once called in sick to a job and never went back, but it was a busboy job, and I was 22, so I really didn't think it would. It does not compare.
All right, that's David Fugillo. You can follow him on Twitter, at David Fugillo. He, of course, works for SB Nation. David, we really appreciate the time this morning. Great stuff.
My pleasure. Thanks a lot.
All right, yeah, I wonder how many people are going to be asked about that today, like around the NFL, like the players and whatnot, because you get a lot of press conferences and stuff along those lines on Monday. What other players around the league, because yesterday it was really just the Bills reacting, but now when other players are informed of what happened with Vontae Davis, what they actually think of it. All right, well, you're listening to The Break. We're right here on SB Nation Radio.